What's up, guys? Welcome to another week of the Sean vs. Wild podcast. I'm your host, as always, the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith, the guy putting rad back into talk radio. It's time to rock and roll all night and podcast every Tuesday. And this Tuesday, no exceptions here, guys. I got a great show for you. I'm talking to Chelsea Tyler of the band Dreamcatcher. And Chelsea and I have known each other for a while. We've been up and down the roads together. Our bands toured with each other a couple years ago, and went all over the country, did South by Southwest, all that good sort of thing. And Dreamcatcher's got a brand new album coming out. It's called Hold Your Love. Matter of fact, it is out now. I've already pre-ordered it myself, so I got that limited edition vinyl, but you can pre-order it now, or order it now, I should say. And it's on vinyl, it's on CD, a lot of cool merch coming your way. And the album's called Hold Your Love, so make sure you check it out. There's going to be links in the description, as per usual, so make sure you pick that up. Hopefully you guys picked up the Mansions album. I've been jamming that all week. So if you heard Mansions last week, hopefully you guys picked up that album. Like I said, I love it. So guys, I hope you had a great week since the last time we talked. Not a lot really going on here for me, brother. I will say that business is about to pick up, guys. We're going to be celebrating a milestone very shortly on the Sean vs. Wild podcast. I'm not going to count my chickens before they hatch, but I think I will have a special announcement next week. As far as announcements this week, I have brand new merch that is out. So if you're interested in hooded sweatshirts or crew neck sweatshirts with some new designs, stay glued to the social media this week, and you'll see some pictures of those, and you'll be able to pick those up here shortly. If you're local, just hit me up, and we can meet up somewhere. If not, I'll ship it to all 50 states, so make it happen. And I'll even ship it internationally, guys, for my international listeners. I'm not going to leave you out, so I'll ship it wherever you need to. Just get in touch with me. We'll make it happen, and I'll set you guys up with some brand new Sean vs. Wild merchandise. And all that merchandise is printed from my OG sponsor. You know about him every single week. I'm talking about Audiophile Inc. I'm talking about Shane from Audiophile. He sets me up. He can set you up too, and he'll ship to all 50 nifty United States as well. Prints the designs that you like on the brands that you like, and he can make it happen for you. So contact AudiophileInc.com and speak with Shane. Tell him the Wild Man sent you. And he's going to get you set up. Also, too, guys, please check out my sponsorship with Audible. Okay, Audible is an Amazon company, and they provide some great kickbacks for me if you guys sign up for your free 30-day trial. And when you do that, you get a free audiobook. You have over 180,000 audiobooks to choose from, so you're going to find one that you like. You get a free 30 days of that subscription. You can cancel at any time. Even if you cancel, you get to keep your book. So that's always great. All you have to do is go to audibletrial.com from your laptop or desktop. audibletrial.com/Sean vs. Wild. That's important. So audibletrial.com/Sean vs. Wild from your laptop or desktop and start your free 30 days. audibletrial.com/Sean vs. Wild. And again, when you do that, Audible will set me up with some money, and who couldn't use a little money to help keep the lights on? Especially, like I said, this is all self-funded. This is all me doing it here, trying to make the dream work. So any bit of help is definitely appreciated. That includes, you know, if you don't want to sign up for a free 30-day trial, if you can just like, share, subscribe, rate the podcast, you know, whatever you can do, leave a review. All those sorts of things go a long way. Tell a friend about it, you know, send a link, whatever the case might be. That helps me, and I appreciate it very much. Also, too, guys, if you are interested in, you know, an opportunity to be on the podcast, please contact me here, because I've got some new programming coming up here for 2018. So if you like, if you listen and you think you'd like to be on it, on an episode and chatting with me, hit me up, SeanVsWild@gmail.com, or you can hit me up on Facebook, and we will make it happen. Also, want to give a big shout-out to my friend Sven, whom I just met a couple weeks ago at the He Is Legend show. Came up to me and said, hey, I listen every single week. It helps me get through my workday, and I really appreciate what you're doing. Well, I tell you what, Sven, I really appreciate you for tuning in. That's what it's all about. That means the world to me. So thank you very much. Also, big thanks to Joe Brock. You know Joe Brock. He boops the dials for me every single week, makes this podcast happen. So thanks to Joe. Thanks to Sven. Thanks to all you guys out there listening. And That's going to be it for me, guys. This is my conversation with Chelsea Tyler of Dreamcatcher. So make sure you stay tuned. It's time to get wild.
You know, I'm secretly kind of bummed that all that hawk humor that we had didn't make it on tape.
You know, I think it was good. I think the world's missing out. We really cracked some cases with some birds.
Either it's for the best because it wasn't very funny at all, but we liked it, or, you know, the world might be missing out on some great humor. I don't know. Also, it took me like five extra minutes to call you because apparently I don't know, something is on fire or something needed some police work, some detective work, because there have been sirens all over the neighborhood for the last 5 or 10 minutes. So thank you for bearing with me on that. I appreciate that.
Of course. Hopefully that isn't related to any hawks.
Yeah. Hopefully no hawks were harmed in the filming and recording of this podcast, guys. You know, bird law 101 states, you know. I'm not sure. I'm not up on my bird law. Are you up on bird law or?
No. I've heard a little bit about it, but
we need to ask, you know, Charlie Day.
I'm a little behind. We should ask him.
So yeah. By the way, I was thinking about you the other day because I was watching The Keepers on Netflix. Have you seen that yet?
I have not. No.
Well, all the SHIT goes down in Baltimore, and I was like, oh, I have friends in Baltimore. I wonder if they've heard about this.
Did we get another show? I know we had The Wire. Did we get another one?
Well, The Keepers is like a documentary about like this unsolved murder case from like the late 60s involving a nun at like a Catholic school.
Oh, wow.
And apparently, you know, some people in the community came together to cover it up. Some high-ranking officials very clandestinely covered this thing up. And very strange. Police cover up, church cover up. School cover up, and the students of the teacher rallied together to try to fill in the blanks and solve the mystery. And it's cool. It's a documentary series. It's like, you know, if you like Making a Murderer, check it out. Very similar.
Okay. Yeah. I saw the one that was like the joke version of Making a Murderer. I'll have to check out The Keepers.
Yes, the joke. American Vandal. Guys, if you haven't watched that yet, boy, oh boy, you are in for a treat.
Oh, yeah.
So, guys, I'm not here to just only talk about Netflix with Chelsea Tyler here. I'm here to talk to Chelsea about her band, Dreamcatcher. Guys, this is the Sean vs. Wild podcast. You knew it wasn't just a Netflix review show. I'm your host, as always, the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith. The guy putting Rad back into talk radio. And as I was saying, I'm talking to Chelsea Tyler from Dreamcatcher today. Singer, rhythm guitarist, extraordinaire. Chelsea, it's been too long. Thank you so much for appearing on the show today.
Oh, man, thank you for having me. It really has been, it's been like years, I think, since I've seen you.
Yeah, since we've definitely since we've seen each other. And we may have talked briefly, like off and on, online, mostly mm-hmm. about professional wrestling, but even those days are gone because, as you've informed me, you're no longer, not that you're no longer, but you've taken a brief hiatus from liking professional wrestling.
I don't dislike it. No, I never said that. Yeah, I just haven't been keeping up.
That's
you
true.
Know, I still read, some articles here and there, but I've just been so busy. So like taking the, you know, 18 hours aside to watch wrestling every week, you know, I really do wish that they'd take Raw down to 2 hours so I could pack it in, but maybe one day.
Don't worry. Here's my secret. Don't watch Raw, watch some SmackDown and make sure you watch NXT every week. And that's about how I go about my business. And then watch every pay-per-view because there's a pay-per-view every 2 weeks.
Yeah, I thought that's kind of what got me was just like the frequency of everything. And I was like, how do I keep up, you know, but I love the wrestling video game. So I am excited that there's a new one coming out
every year. They're going to make them bigger and better or more of the same, whatever. They're going to have new characters and I'm going to be happy with that. If I can play as, you know,
there we go.
Nakamura, I'm going to.
Yep, absolutely.
It is how it is. Well, Chelsea, like you said, it's been a couple years since we've chatted, but for the listeners out there, Chelsea's band Dreamcatcher and a little band that I was in. You guys know the name of it. Uh-huh, baby, yeah. Toured together some time ago back in February and March of 2015, was it? 14?
Oh, 14 or 15. I can't. I think it was 15.
Yeah, I think it was 15 as well. But yeah, so yeah. Back February, March, our bands toured together with another good friend, with another great band as well. And we had a great time. And it was called the Better Down South Tour. And yeah, that's how Dreamcatcher came into my world. And I got to say, ever since day one, I've been a fan. I've been a big fan.
Oh, you're too nice. Yeah, that was how we met you guys. I remember, I think the first night, Craig locked the van keys in our van, and I think Kevin had to, like, how we met Kevin, he was like, yeah, I've broken into cars or something. And we were just like, all right. And that, you know, it was smooth sailing since then.
Yeah. Who'd have thought Kevin's life of crime has really come in handy? That's the most Kevin thing I've ever heard. Kevin, if you're listening to this podcast, and you should be. Way to go, man, because had you not done that, maybe this podcast wouldn't have happened today. Everything happens for a reason, guys. But yeah.
Dude, yeah, we didn't know you guys. That's just like kind of how it, that's how we like really were introduced.
And I remember like you guys, us lying in the main, our first date was in Pittsburgh. And we played really late. And for some reason we were the last band. We played super, super late and nobody really knew much about one another, and we were just kind of talking. I think you and I and Brian and I chatted maybe about wrestling. Maybe you're wearing your Stone Cold Steve Austin shirt. I don't know.
I think that's the case, because I think I took a picture with like the smiling moose, like the actual, you know, embodiment of the smiling moose.
Oh yeah, that's with the name of the venue, the Smiling Moose.
Yep, that's where we played, and there was, like, a little guy in, like, the mascot outfit or something, and, like, there's a picture of Brian and I, like, just with our thumbs up taking a picture, and I believe I am wearing that Stone Cold t-shirt.
Yeah, so that was basically how we became best friends, because I'm a wrestling fan, you're a wrestling fan, and, you know, we were just kind of talking, and I remember talking to, you know, Johnny from Lion in the Main, and, you know, just talking to Ben from that was playing with you guys. At the time, and you know, just as drummers, you kind of find the same the person that plays the same instrument as you and talk about your gear and what have you. And then by the time we played, I just remember, you know, we just played and it was super loud and super energetic, and Kevin busted himself in the mouth and nose and bled all over the place. The first and only time that happened on that tour, oddly enough.
Yeah, man. Good night. That was. That was a really good night.
That was a great tour too. I mean, you know, some nights were better than others. Especially remember I came across on my time hop a picture of me, Cato, Johnny from Lion in the Main, and Zach from Lion in the Main, like just like hard styling at that bar in Alabama that didn't know
Alabama, that was the first of the shows that I think we got kicked out of, or you guys got kicked out of or something.
Yeah.
I think there was that one. And like, I think they told us to leave while we were playing. I think they canceled the package once we started playing in like Oklahoma City or something. I think like the guy who owned the place called the cops for no reason.
Yes. They were like, oh, it's a music venue, but it's just too loud. And it's like, well, dude, like bands have amplifiers, man. I don't know what kind of music venue you think you're running here, but it's not just acoustic bands, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, that was the two of the most memorable shows were Oklahoma City, because we got to play like one song and that was it, and then Alabama, where we played quite a few songs but we got kicked out.
Yep.
both of which were venues where they were like, hey, the Alabama was the one where it's like, hey, we totally forgot we were having a show. But that's anybody listening. If you've ever been on tour, you know what we're talking about. You've been there. You've done that. And if you haven't toured, guess what? You are in for a treat, because you will have plenty of nights just like that.
Absolutely. There's going to be nights that are just, you're just playing with your friends and it's super cool if you take it that way. And then you have nights that are like Dallas of that tour. We played Dallas and I met this girl I'd never talked to, never like seen on the internet, nothing, just like no connection to her. and she like drove super far with her sister to come see us play, and was like, you know, it was just like one of those moments where you really kind of like realize that what you're doing might be kind of important to someone else too. And so that tour was just like, it was great because it was, you know, some of the worst of times, like at least show wise and like, you know, with the draw and the venues. And then it was some of the best of times to just kind of get out there and really like, you know, feel what's going on and to spread the music out and just see what's up. And for us, it was a really, really good learning experience to kind of go through that. And, you know, I think we kind of started our band with really, really high expectations. And I think that was a really good, a good metaphor for it. Maybe like opening the window and seeing that there's something different outside than what you initially thought there was.
Right.
So, you know, that, it was cool. It was great because we came out of it with some really cool friends. And at the end of the day, you know, what else can you really ask for?
Exactly. It's all about who you know, guys, by the way. So make all the good contacts that you can and stay in touch with them. Because, yeah, at the end of the day, that you're going to, whether you make money or not, I think the most important thing is you look back and you had a shitload of fun and a lot of great memories with a lot of great people. And you lived a fulfilled life.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter. You don't have to make $1 million to be fulfilled. You just have a great time. That's fulfillment enough for me anyway.
Absolutely, man. I mean, you know, success is different for everyone, but for, you know, I'm the same way. For me, if I get to like play music and, you know, hopefully make a living and continue to do it, like that's all that I'm really searching for, is just connection, and connection through music and through something that I feel like, you know, I can communicate through. Like, I'm not the easiest person to, you know, talk to sometimes. Like, I totally have a lot of anxiety issues, and like there's a lot of stuff that goes on in my head, but like music for me, it's always just been like a connection. And, you know, I can hear things in the singer's voice, and you can just like, you know, all those moments that as a band, you know, that like when you capture it, like you hear that from other bands and it connects you to that, and you meet people through it. And, you know, I've always found that the people I've met through music, they're easier to talk to. They're more like me, like they're more empathetic. And maybe that's because I, you know, romanticize it or something, but it's just for me being able to tour and to meet that one person in Dallas. Like if nothing else on that tour was, you know, good, which it was, but if that's the only thing that I get to walk away with, like that's really, really, really cool.
I agree. And we had a great time too at South by Southwest. I mean,
oh yeah,
that was the jam. We made a lot of great memories on that tour, for sure. That's one of my favorites.
That whole thing was just fun. You know, I remember like sometimes I don't even remember where we were, but I remember like, you know, everyone hanging out near the trailers, like just sitting there doing nothing in like some rock filled parking lot. I don't even know if we played that show, like, but we were just in some park. Maybe we did. I forget, but like, just like these like little moments of just like sitting with you guys in lawn chairs, like shooting the shit, like, you know, like you can't replace those memories. That's just like, you know, that's what it's about, I think.
Exactly. Also, another great date from that tour. Do you remember Corpus Christi at that awesome like rock and roll venue? Like it was just a straight up like,
dude, oh yeah,
that was the coolest venue. One of the coolest venues that I've ever played at. And that guy, Eddie Alonje, I believe is his name. And he was in that band, Shadow of the Giant. Still hang out with that dude on Facebook. You know what I'm saying? Still virtually hang out with him. Shout out to him if you're listening. And that venue was awesome. So got to give a big shout out on
dude,
that.
It was. Was that the one where we played with that band from like Germany?
Yes. That band from Germany that had that super large bus and that extra large trailer.
Yeah, I was calling it the Winter Bagel the whole tour. So I was driving home from work, and across the street from the shop I work at, there's a bar called the Raven Inn that we play at a bunch. But and they have shows all the time, you know, kind of, you know, just it's a, you know, a dive bar, super cool place.
Sure.
The people are awesome. And so I'm driving home from work, and right outside of this bar is the fucking Winter Bagel.
Oh shit.
Like it's, yeah, dude, they played down the street from like my house, and I was just like, I like tried to take a picture of it, but I was driving, and I don't like to text when I drive and whatnot, so I didn't get it. I don't know if I got a picture of it, but I remember just like I about pulled over and just like went to the show because I was like, that is so random.
I got a mental picture burnt into my brain forever. I can't mention. I believe was the name of that band.
The Mansion. Yeah.
And they were tight. They were great people too. Strangest band maybe ever. Lovely people though. So tell the listeners out there, because I know we've been just chatting her up, but so how did Dreamcatcher become a thing? How did it get started?
Craig, who plays bass in the band, he and I were in a band called the Aviator Set, like end of high school, like when people are doing college, like that's what I was doing. And the band kind of just fell apart as bands can. And Craig and I just, you know, I don't think either one of us wanted to do anything other than play music. So we started writing, and obviously I've been with Brian for years at that point. So Brian had started kind of working with my old band and with me and Craig on producing and just like a little co-writing here and there, but more or less like just kind of someone who could kind of produce and help kind of shape what was in our heads. And so initially the band started as me and Craig doing something that was going to be like our project and kind of take it from there. And you know, Brian's situation changed, we'll say, and he was available. So we kind of started writing before that happened. We started writing with him and just kind of felt like we had something. And then, you know, once he was a free agent, we just kind of scooped him up and just started writing. And that's how that first EP happened, was just like a year and a half in our practice space, just every night, me, Brian, and Craig, like randomly rotating who was playing drums, because we didn't have a drummer at the time. Just, that's just how that kind of started.
So what were your influences going into it? Because what I always liked about your band, and of course, influences, I just had a conversation on another podcast a couple weeks ago. Of course, it's all subjective as far as what you think or what someone else thinks you sound like. But I always felt like you had like a very dark, almost like a dark 80s vibe to it, to your sound. Did you ever like have that influence? Like, almost it sounds like a female fronted, like, Tears for Fears influence or something, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I love all decades of music, all kinds of music, from, you know, Hendrix to The Cure to, you know, the 1975. Like, I love great songwriting and cool sounds and soundscapes and everything. And Brian comes from a similar background. And, you know, I think we tried to be more 90s, but I think, you know, it's chorusy guitars and just the songwriting. And you know, my vocal, I've gotten a lot that people like kind of equate my vocal to like a more like 80s kind of pop singer.
Right.
And so there's just a lot of that influence, you know, like we were listening to a lot of like Brand New and The National and, you know, the 1975. It just started like kind of, you know, making their name. So we were really into that at the time we were writing that first EP. And you know, we were just kind of experimenting with what it could be. And, you know, Brian has a sound and like I had something that, you know, I was going for. And, you know, I think for me, songwriting has always been just something that I can be really open and honest about, where, you know, sometimes I feel like you have to be guarded when talking to people or when dealing with certain situations. And, you know, for me, songwriting is just an open book and, you know, it kind of helps me to get it out. And so I think a lot of that kind of darkness just comes from that, not knowing where else to channel it.
Right.
Which I'm glad that like, I'm not channeling it into, you know, something violent or something. I think that's kind of where the darkness comes from. It's just a way to kind of let the light in, is to put that into the music and, you know, hopefully someone hears it and can relate to it and, you know, maybe feels a little bit less alone or something.
Yeah. I mean, really that's the best you can hope for. And also too, I mean, just like you were saying, you're channeling your aggression or your feelings, your emotion, whatever your emotions are, whether it's passive or aggressive, you're channeling into the medium of music. Some people channel it into sports or a podcast or whatever it is that you want to do. But I feel like with a lot of musicians, it's very much like that. It's music is an escape, or it's a savior, it's an outlet, because there is, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's just, you got to get it out of your brain. You know what I'm saying? If that makes any sense. So.
No, absolutely. I mean, for me, it's like a way to kind of turn all of my negatives in life into hopefully something positive, or at least trending positive, you know, like to be able to put out a song. And like that girl in Dallas, I was talking about, she was talking about a song on that EP called June. And like, she was just telling me about like what she was going through when she, like when she heard the song and like how it affected her. And like, you know, for me, it's a completely different story than it is for her, but you can both find something in it. And I just think that that's really, really powerful to be able to turn, you know, something negative in my life, something negative in the listener's life, into a positive and a connection in some way, you know?
It's true. Got to make that connection. So where in the timeline do you put out Wanderlust?
So that was 2013, like winter 2013, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like, I don't know, maybe like a year and a half, 2 years before the Better Down South tour.
Okay. So you you started playing, you scooped up Brian and, you know, went to work. And then is Wander, you said you put out an EP. Did you have a release before Wanderlust came out?
No, that was the first one. It's like a 8 million song EP.
I was going to say, it's an extended EP. It's almost damn near an LP. Yeah. But that's a great album.
Yep.
I still spin that and listen to you guys on Spotify a lot, actually. One of my favorite bands. I love the recording. I love the, I don't know, just the songwriting. Like I said, it takes me, you know, of course, it's one of those things. As a listener, you can think it sounds like whatever because it's what you like. But yeah, it's got a very, I don't know, just very appealing sound to me, you know?
Dude, thank you.
Hey, you're welcome.
I mean, that, you know, I love working on that EP just because it was, like I said, it was our first kind of stab at trying to be a band and at really kind of like, you know, with my old bands, it was just kind of like, you're in a band, it's fun. You're, you know, kind of out of high school, like, you know, whatever. And that was kind of our first stab at like taking it seriously and writing, you know, some songs that were mature and what I thought was appropriate for, you know, being a 22, 23 year old and trying to come at it with like an actual perspective instead of just a shot in the dark. And, you know, we got to like do a lot of the production work on it. And we worked with Kenny Eaton, who's out here in Maryland, and, you know, he's just phenomenal to work with. And then, you know, we worked with Paul Levitt on the vocals and the mixing side of it. And, you know, Paul just kind of tied the bow and made it sound really, really great at the end of the day. So it was, you know, that was a fun one to make. I still listen to it a bit. Hopefully we put it on vinyl one day.
Hey, I'd love to have it on vinyl. Speaking of which, I pre-ordered the new album, got it on the vinyl.
Dude, thank you.
Hey,
that's like a dream come true, man, to like even say that I can put that out on vinyl. That's so cool.
I've been really into it lately. I've got my whole podcast altar here built up, and the record player is right in the corner of the old altar. So light all the candles,
all
turn
right.
down the lights, put on an album, put on some Black Sabbath, you know what I'm saying? And just really just really chill. Just really vibe out, as Blake would say. Just vibe out.
Just vibe out.
But speaking of vibing out, now I have... Basically, the last time I talked to you, or one of the last times that we really sat down and had a heart-to-heart conversation, was on the Better Down South tour. You know, once that was mm-hmm. over, you know, everybody goes, life happens, everything goes their separate ways. This is basically part of the story that I'm not aware of. I'm sure the listeners aren't aware of it. So what was Dreamcatcher up to from that point to... all this new hype that's going on about this new album?
Yeah. So, we started writing before that tour. So that's how long this album has been in the works, is mm-hmm. since before any of that happened. And so for that tour, we had, Ben Cato join us. And we had started kind of writing before, during, like with him specifically, but like Dreamcatcher had songs kind of, you know, getting there. Like, I think we were playing songs on this record on that tour, actually. So Ben was playing with us. We did another tour. Ben left the band at the end of that like second tour. It was a couple weeks later. It was like a 2, maybe 10 day run or something with Forever and Never. And so he left in Nashville and we had to drive back to Baltimore, which was probably one of like the worst nights of my life. Maybe it was just one of those, like you just don't know what's going to happen at that point. And like, you know, I think the conversations we had in the Better Down South tour, like, this is my life. This band is everything to me. Like, I don't do anything else. I don't think of anything else. Like, I eat, sleep, and breathe music. Like, that's just all I know how to do. And so that night, it's just kind of like, you just kind of don't know what's going to happen. And you don't know if you should continue going on because, you know, it's just kind of a continuous string of what you think is bad luck. And so, our friend TJ was, out with us, like kind of tour managing and drum teching for Ben. So basically TJ joined the band right at that time. And we kind of got to work. But while that was happening, Craig was going through some stuff. And so we did, Gun and Believe. We tracked those after TJ had joined the band. Like closely after TJ had joined the band, I think he maybe played one show with us and then we were in the studio working on those two songs. And, right after that, some stuff kind of went down with Craig and he decided to leave. Which, you know, Craig, just so everyone kind of knows what's going on, I started the band with Craig. He's been my best friend since high school. And like the ending was to his relationship with the band was super abrupt. And, I don't think either party wanted it to happen, but I think it had to. So he parted ways and it was me, Brian, and TJ. And we've, you know, played with a lot of different musicians and, you know, writing this album was really, really difficult because it was a lot of stuff we'd written with a lot of different people. And, you know, my best friend and I had basically stopped talking and it was just, it got really, really, really dark. And there was no, like, there was just like no light that we could find. And it got, you know, it got weird. And, you know, with TJ there, you know, we just kept grinding and we got to the point with like a friend of ours that we were like, okay, we can go in and record the record. Like, let's just do it. Let's keep going. And, so we start working on it. And the first day there's like there's a snowstorm. So that kind of foreshadows the rest of like, you know, the process. And so we couldn't go in and like, we had taken off of work because, you know, being in an unsigned band or a band that's a little bit more on the DIY side, it's a lot of money if you want to do it right.
True.
So snowstorm the next day we can like, we got to get our stuff and go to, Paul Levitt is who we recorded this with. And so we had to get our stuff and go to Paul's, but our practice space, like there's like a gate to it. And since the like snowstorm knocked the power out, so we couldn't get into the gate. So we basically had to like hop this fence and like get all of our gear like to the van from the snow. And like, it was just an insane situation. And, so finally, like we start recording and it's, you know, it's going okay. It's going fine. Like, luckily we had done enough like preparation and pre-pro that we knew kind of what was going on. So the record happens, waiting for mixes. We get mixes back. And TJ's like, hey guys, I'm going to move to Florida. And we're like, fuck, okay, cool. Like, do your thing, you know? And, you know, so we had some tours booked up and TJ wasn't able to make them happen. So, you know, we had fill-ins and played with some really, really, really great musicians. And, then, you know, TJ kind of being far apart, we kind of all made the decision that wasn't going to work out. So it kind of turned into Brian and I, and our manager had seen us at like one of the last shows we played with TJ, our friend Bill, who manages us now. And he saw us, we opened for like Jeff Rickley and, you know, Bill saw us. And I think like finally someone understood what Brian and I saw in the band. And so like, you know, we started working with him after everything with TJ kind of went down. And since we started working with him, we just started rebuilding. And so, you know, the mixes we got back, we weren't happy with. And, you know, we hired Chris Camrata. He plays with Falling in Reverse now. He's recorded, the drum tracks for Paris. So we hired him to play some shows with us. He's a friend of Brian's and Bill, our managers. And, we just kind of connected with him with playing the songs and showing them our demos. And, you know, we had like a writing session with them on the tour, and, you know, him and Bill like really just saw the vision. And so Chris works with, Micah. They were in a There for Tomorrow, if anyone's familiar. So Chris and Micah mixed the record, and it just like kind of really brought mine and Brian's vision to life. And, you know, Craig came back, and we met this drummer, Billy, who's phenomenal and, that we love dearly. And so they joined the band, both of them kind of came in, and, you know, ever since that kind of change happened, you know, it's been pretty smooth sailing, but it was just a lot that went on. And that's like me kind of trying to shorten the story a little bit, but like we got into a van accident and totaled our van, and, you know, just all kinds of crazy stuff happened. And so it was just a period of life where I think you'll hear it in the songwriting and in the lyrics. And it was just pure, like having your heart ripped out and then stapled back together and then re-ripped out. And, you know, it was hard. And I think it reflects on the record, and that, you know, I hope it does, because that was kind of our intention when it came down to it. Was, you know, it is a dark record and it doesn't have much light to it, but like I think if you can understand where we're coming from, and hopefully the story, how we're trying to tell it, I think that you'll see like that what happened kind of had to happen. And, you know, like we talked about it with like we changed the spelling of the name of our band,
right?
And we took out the vowels and an additional C, and like part of it was because we wanted to be easier to find on the internet, but it really kind of symbolized something for us. It was just, we lost a lot. We lost almost everything that we had, but what we are now is something that's stronger and bolder and louder, and just, you know, we're ready for anything. We've been to hell. Like there's nothing worse than what we went through. You know, I'd like to, you know, if, you know, try me at this point. It's, you know, I think we have just a newfound like sense of self and who we want to be and what we are. And, you know, I think we're finally empowered and really ready to be a band.
That's awesome. And, you know, that darkness, that bleakness, the album may come out that way, but hey, so did Empire Strikes Back, guys. It doesn't end on a positive note, but that doesn't mean that's the end of the story. You know, there's a part two or a part three right upon the horizon, you know, and that's hopefully where, you know, some light gets in there. But that's the real struggle between bandmates and, you know, when you're touring and stuff like that, any kind of vehicle issues, monetary setbacks, all, you know, life happens big time. It happened to me, happens to you, it happens to every band, happens to everyone, period, in whatever walk of life that you're in. So listeners, put that in your hat. Dude, life happens, and it's going to be tough, and it's going to be shitty sometimes, but if you can channel that into something positive, you're going to have an awesome, you know, album or podcast or job or what, you know, piece of artwork or whatever it is that you, you know, decide to channel your stuff into.
Yeah, you just have to take those, like, you know, looking back on it, like I wouldn't change a single thing, you know. And, you know, even when we thought the record wasn't going to come out and we weren't happy with how it sounded, like, you know, it was dark, but, you know, there's where I'm at now. Like I just know myself better. I know what I want. Like, you know, it's just kind of like, it was a really good look at the mirror, like in the mirror, and really to like understand all of it, like why we're doing this, like what's the point? Cause there's so many times where we could have pulled the plug and almost did. And like, you know, I wouldn't take any of it back, like at all, because the record is something I'm extremely proud of. And, you know, I think even if the record is dark, like there's a level of perseverance there that, like, you know, I hope can translate to other people. It's, you know, you walk through hell, and by the time you get out of it, like you just see that, you know, hell's not what you think it is. You know, it's different. It's all about how you want to take it. And so for us to be able to kind of come out on the other side and really feel, like I said, really feel empowered and really feel like bold and strong. And it's like, you know, it's like coming out of the ashes, or, you know, I've never done that, but if you did come out of the ashes, like, I feel like that's, you know, it's, you know, this record is the rebirth of our band, and it's us being honest about what happened instead of shying away from it and coming out with some, like, you know, we could have redone the record and written, you know, 12 happy songs and, you know, made some pop bangers and lied about where we've been. But, you know, this record is where we've been for the past 4 years.
Yeah. And I think truth, honesty, all that sort of thing at the end of the day, people respect that. And it's commendable to struggle. Guys, everyone struggles. And the thing is it's a good thing to struggle in many ways, because I feel that you learn not from your success, but you learn from your failures. So, you know, these sorts of things, these struggles, these failures just happen all the time, and you got to be able to, you got to be able to keep on going. And,
I mean, you know, it's cool to get sad, and it's cool to, like, let it affect you. And it's, you know, it's human. That's what happens. But, you know, there's also, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to lay there in the rubble? Or are you just going to, like, let it happen? Cause sometimes you got to for a little bit, but at some point you just, you know, you got to try and get up, and you know, if you can't, you got to ask for some help. And I think, you know, I think it's really important that, you know, we made a record that's about that, because I think there's a lot of people that it can translate to right now. I think there's a lot of us going through a lot of dark shit. And I think that, you know, I think everyone at least needs to know that they're not alone in that.
Exactly. You guys are like when Khaleesi was in that burning tent, and then she came out, and then she had fucking dragons. That's what you guys are right now.
Dude, I hope so. We almost took pictures with a dragon, so.
Perfect. See? Dreamcatcher, dragons. It's real. It's real. You know what is cool, okay? So it is cool to get sad sometimes, but you know what is cool? It's cool to get awesome sometimes. So I think we should get awesome and play your awesome first single off of the new album, because I've already, like I said, I already pre-ordered it. I've got this thing downloaded. It's been on rotation for me for weeks now. I'm stoked. I'm stoked on it. So tell us about the new single, Apartments.
So I came home, I think it was like, I don't know when it was, but I came home one night. I think I was out at the bar with Craig or something. And like, we come home and Brian's here with some like crazy, like instrumental that it was like something just so unique. And I was like, oh my God, like that's what the band needs to be. Like, that's just it. Like, that's what we're going for. And so, you know, we put it together in a room with the full band and everything like that. And over time, like, it's kind of a dark, heavy song. And so I really wanted to write something lyrically that was like lusty and like, you know, kind of different than like what we've done. So I really wanted to write something lyrically and vocally that kind of really reflected that. And so it's kind of like a, like what I imagine, like, you know, when people are like, oh yeah, I need to go freshen up, you know, like before you're about to like, you know, do some stuff, you take them home, whatever. But it's like, what happens when people are actually saying, oh, let me just go freshen up, or like slip into something more comfortable? Like, are they really in the bathroom? Like, you know, like, oh yeah, this is going to be great. Or are you in the bathroom looking at yourself? Like, what if this doesn't go well? Like, what if this changes everything? Like, it's just like kind of that like weird, like anxiety that you feel. And like, really, like, you know, that's kind of what the song is about, I think.
Gotcha. The anxiety over that point that, I don't know, that point of self-realization where you're like, I'm about to do this.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's kind of overanalyzing what happens.
It's about to go down, in the words of Kevin Hart. So, guys, and yeah, it is about to go down. This is Dreamcatcher, first single off of the brand new album called Hold Your Love. This song is called Apartments. All right, guys, that was Apartments by Dreamcatcher, taking you to Flavor Town on that one, Guy Fieri style. Most of you guys might have thought I was going to say taking you to Toontown, but that was Flavor Town, just like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Are you a big Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives fan?
You know, I like Diners, but I've only seen the show like on at my friend's house when I go over there, but I've never sat down and watched it.
Dude, the fat kid in me, like, it's just like watching the Super Bowl when I watch that. I'm like, oh, that is a great Philly cheesesteak. Mmm, delicious. You know?
It freaks me out. I saw one where they did like a bunch of like, just a bunch of stuff on top of other stuff, which I'm sure they do all the time. But like, I saw a couple of them that really grossed me out. And I was like, I don't know if I want to eat anymore.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to stop eating. I'm just going to drink water and eat ice from this day forward.
Lots of water and oxygen. You'll be fine.
It'll be fine, guys. Like that guy that survived off of sunlight. I don't know if you've ever heard of that guy. Apparently, this guy's been surviving off just sunlight, the vitamins and minerals, for like 30 years.
How is that possible?
I have no idea. Guys, if you know, let's talk about it. Hit me up in the comment section about how that's possible. Who knows? But so love that song. Like I said, I've been spinning Apartments. Let's get back to the subject at hand, listeners. Apartments by Dreamcatcher. I've been spinning that for the past few weeks, pretty much nonstop. Love it. And then you told me on the break here that I can be expecting, and probably by the time this podcast airs, I will have already expected and received a brand new music video from you guys.
Yes, you will have.
So for those of you out there, I'll post the link. I'm sure it'll be out and about. But on the DL, this is the exclusive, okay? I don't know how exclusive it is. I'm just going to make that up. But for this time of day, this is pretty exclusive that you guys have a new video for the song Blacked Out.
Yes. Yeah, we did the video with a friend of ours, Joe Perry, who did all of our press photos for this record and everything.
Was he also the guitarist of Aerosmith? Was the Joe Perry from Aerosmith? Oh, fantastic. Tell me more.
I'm not at liberty to discuss that, actually.
Contractually, okay. Sorry, did I say Joe Perry? I meant Joe Sperry.
Joe Harry.
Joe Harry, yes. Mo Berry. Well, what's the concept behind the video? What should we, what can I expect?
Yeah, so the song Blacked Out, it's lyrically, it's I wrote it, like I said earlier, like the going through the record, it was going through a really, really rough time. And there was one night, I was out at the bar and, hanging out, maybe drank way too much.
You know, I think I'm picking up what you're laying down. I think I believe that I know what you're talking about. I may or may not have done that a time or two on.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's super rare for it to happen. So, but you know, it was after, you know, while Craig wasn't in the band and everything. And, we were texting and it just got me really upset. And so like, you know, kind of pushed me a little bit lower. And so, I was writing the song and I wanted to write something that would be like future me telling like then me that it was all going to be okay. And, you know, to just hang in there, like, you know, and so, that's what the song's about. And so the video idea was just, it's to have the broken version of me in one room and then the, you know, the okay, like, you know, future me, so to speak, on the other side of the door, just kind of begging to be let in and trying to get the other me to kind of open up and everything like that. And so it kind of just shows, you know, we'll call it the blacked out version of me, just kind of waking up and seeing that I'm in this destroyed room and not realizing why, and then like it starts coming back to me and I kind of like flash back to these moments of like what happened the night before, and it kind of just goes through that story until the end of the video.
Dude, that rocks. I cannot wait to see it. And by this time it airs, guys, you know podcasts aren't live. I'm gonna have already seen it maybe 3,000 or 4,000 times, and I suggest you do the same. So yeah, I'm so excited, man. I'm so excited for the new album. And today is going to be, today's the 14th, technically. For podcast listeners, mm-hmm. you're tuning in, it's going to be November 14th, and then the album comes out in just 3 days. Now
3 days.
3 days. And then, so you guys, like I said, I pre-ordered it. It's got some, what, limited edition vinyls and everything. Tell people about this whole pre-order package or this whole ordering package. Where can they find the record? Where can they get the record? All that good sort of thing.
Yeah, so for this record, we signed a deal with Dark Shore Music Group. They're kind of a DC / Western Maryland based label. And they've been, you know, they've been great, just kind of helping us get this thing put out. And they put it on vinyl, which is insane. And I don't know why anyone would put my music out on vinyl, but I'm so grateful. So you can check it out on their site, or you can go to dreamcatcher.com, DRMCTHR. And you can pre-order from either, you know, the label or us through that site. The band's offering, I think we have like 100 or 150 quantity of white vinyl, and then the label's doing this like ridiculously cool clear smoke variant. And it's all like limited quantities and everything like that. And, you know, I'm just so stoked. Like I said, I can't believe anyone would like, you know, put out my record on vinyl. So
as soon as I saw that it was coming out on vinyl, sorry to interrupt you there, but like literally I was like, oh, I got to get this. Perfect band to jam to on vinyl here in my altar, candles lit. You know what I'm saying? Like put the album on and just chill. So I ordered it.
Oh dude, it's going to be,
go ahead.
It's going to be good for that. I've already ordered it twice, and I'm sure by the time this airs, I'll have ordered it another two more times.
And I'm stoked to see which one I get. I don't even remember if I which one I ordered, so it's going to be a surprise to me. And I just did the exact same thing a few podcasts ago. I don't know, 8-10 podcasts ago, had a good friend of mine named Brian Warsham on, and he has a group called Robots Win. And when I had him on, I went and pre-ordered. They put out an album on vinyl and came out on this mm-hmm. awesome, another like kind of a limited edition thing. It was like this white and purple splatter type of, record, you know, and that's like one of my favorite ones. I'm like, I'm going to need to support more of my favorite artists, my podcast guests, but on vinyl, it's way more enjoyable than buying a CD. So,
oh, dude, I love it. It just reminds me of like, cause you know, I grew up in the 90s, like stealing Third Eye Blind CDs from my parents and like Nirvana, Nevermind. I stole that from them. And like, I just remember sitting with the record and like, you know, in CD format, and like you're just sitting there, you're going through the lyric book and like you're checking out the artwork, and it feels so important and so big. And like, you know, I'm staring at my vinyl collection right now, and for me it's like music is still so important and so big. So buying records is just like, you know, it's kind of like it gives me that feeling again to where like I'll sit there and like the first time I spin it like in my room, I'm just like looking at it just like I would when I was a kid. And like it just like, you know, that's I fucking love music.
Let me ask you too. What are some of your? You said you're looking at your vinyl collection now. What are some of your favorite pieces of your collection? What are some, or what are maybe your most listened to albums from that collection?
So the newest national record, is unreal. Like I just love that album. Nonstop listening to it. Paramore After Laughter, and like, you know, people compare my band to Paramore a lot, probably because of the female thing. And I've never really been like the biggest Paramore fan. Like I've always like dug it and like respect what they do, but I never like, you know, I liked Brand New Eyes a lot, but like, I've never really been like a continuous, like, you know, Paramore-aholic. But dude, After Laughter is one of the best records I've ever heard.
I'm going to have to check that one out. And also, too, being a strong, independent female that just kicks ass in a band, have had quite a few on this podcast, and I think it just comes with the territory where people are going to be like, hey, dude, y'all are like Paramore, man. Swear to God.
Oh, they love it. Dude, but if you're comparing me to this Paramore record, then I'll take it every day of the week, man. Like, Haley has never, like, she's never sounded better. It's, songwriting's insane. Like, I love that record. Julian Baker, she's phenomenal. And her record, that's another one of like my most played. And then Alanis Morissette, man, that's like another one of my like you know, might be kind of getting worn out records.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm sitting here staring at mine. I'm trying to think as you were discussing yours. I was like, I wonder which one's mine. Of mine would be the most spun. And I would say, honestly, Zombies, Odyssey, and Oracle is very common for me to be listening to that over and over. It's one of my favorite albums mm-hmm. of all time. Black Sabbath, Paranoid, Master Reality, Volume 4, Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, and Sabotage. I got them all on vinyl. Some of my favorite albums of all time.
Nice.
Rainbow Rising. Nice. I love a lot of, you know, on vinyl, I've been really into my 70s rock. But as far as newer stuff, I have both 1975s. Those are absolutely fantastic.
Great band.
Yeah. Mastodon is another great band I have on vinyl. Minus the Bear, another mm-hmm. great band.
Oh, yeah, dude. Oh, yeah.
But I just get so much more enjoyment now out of it. And I've mentioned this on the podcast before. Also, too, I just feel like I owe the music business this because I've stolen so much music and downloaded so much music over the years. Like, I owe the music business my money, and I will pay twice as much to have it on vinyl than on a record.
Dude, I feel the same way, man. Like, I buy them because I like it. And, like, I do, like, the Apple Music, and, like, I have a Spotify account, too. Like, I have all of it. You know, and I love just buying records and just sitting with a record instead of just like
so much for doing the podcast. It's great to just be able to sit down and catch up with you guys. And
dude, man, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Hey, I really appreciate you. And give all my give all my love to Craig and Brian, man. I'm so I kind of was bummed. I mean, you've been a great guest, but I was bummed that they didn't make a guest appearance here.
You know, I mean, you might have heard Brian walk through the door, so if you listen close, he's there.
He's there. He's always with me in spirit, but it's nice to know that he's there in the background of the podcast also. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
And I tell you what, if I can give you any advice, I would say go ahead and get right back into pro wrestling, because that way we can talk all the time and be best friends and watch every pay-per-view together.
I love it.
So it's a deal. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Sean versus Wild podcast. I've been your host, as always, Sean Thriller Smith. If you like what you've heard, and something tells me you've probably loved what you've heard, especially since you're already an hour plus into this show. But if you haven't already, please like it, share it, subscribe to it on iTunes and on Stitcher and on anywhere you get your podcast. It's on YouTube. If you want to subscribe to the YouTube, I guess some people listen to podcasts on YouTube. I don't know. You can follow me on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all that good social media stuff. And definitely check out the links in the show notes, because there's going to be ordering links and website links for Dreamcatcher. And you're going to want to check out the music video for Blacked Out. It's going to be a good one. I can already tell. And yeah, so don't worry. It's funny. It got real quiet there, but Chelsea, I'm not done with you yet. I figured I would just, you know.
All right.
give them a shout out there. This is your time to shine, guys. So Chelsea, tell the listeners out there, you know, whatever you have to say. This is your last hurrah. Give it to them.
My last hurrah. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening, for checking it out. Like I said, my name is Chelsea. I'm in a band called Dreamcatcher. Our record, Hold Your Love, is out November 17th on Dark Shore Music Group. And give it a listen. Reach out, and I hope you like it.
You're going to love it. And guys, this has been the Sean versus Wild podcast.